Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the Yesterday's Hero Odyssey again. We're looking at the 1979... cult film, you could call it. Yesterday's Hero.
I think if it wasn't a cult already, we're making it into one.
Fucking is now, yeah. That's what we do, we're cult makers.
Yeah.
Cultifiers.
The cult machine.
Yeah, something like that. Top flight cult machine. Cult machine.
Yeah. We've got this cult mechanism, see? We worked it out a while ago. It's a mechanism whereby we can just manufacture cults at will.
How do we monetize it? Very easily. I was just looking about the Muller Kintyre cheese, about where to get it, because I don't know where it is anymore.
My God, I had a disagreement with my missus about that. I went to her. I said, this Canadian extra mature cheddar tastes the difference that we've been getting from Sainsbury's recently. I said, I'll be honest, I don't even like it. I said, it's not just my... Because at first I just thought, because it's not Muller Kintyre, it will never be good enough, right? But I said, I actually actively dislike it, and I don't think it should be in the Taste the Difference range, right? I can taste the fucking difference, and I tell you this, I don't like it.
Does she have authority over the Taste the Difference range?
No, it's not like that. I wasn't having a go about that. I was just saying that, you know, this cheddar situation. And she said... Oh, I'll just look if they've got Muller Kintyre back in. I went, fuck's sake. If they had Muller Kintyre in, we'd have it, wouldn't we? I said, it's not like you're making me think now that you've been just choosing the Canadian extra mature and not even checking. I assumed you were checking. Before you start saying that, like, I live in some sort of sexist setup, we have a split in this house, and one of the things that she's responsible for is doing the Sainsbury's shop online, right?
Cheese acquisition.
She knows her responsibility. She knew that when we got married.
Yeah.
And then she revealed there's plenty of other fucking mature cheddars in Sainsbury's. There's Sainsbury's own range, extra mature. Just get that. But the Muller Kintyre, that is gone, mate. You got to put it behind you. Forget about it.
I mean, it's just listed on Sainsbury's as out of stock. You can get it on eBay. But it's
so
a 1.25 kilogram block. So that's pretty substantial, isn't it? And it's
$13.95. Oh, I could get through that in a week, mate. No problem.
That's an industrial block.
But if it's on eBay, it might be used. What condition does it say it's in?
Doesn't say.
Used, brackets, no, very good.
It says new. It says new.
Oh, dear.
But then you're looking at £4.75 postage as well, and it's coming from Preston. What the fuck?
I want it to come from Muller Kintyre, really.
Of course, it should do, yeah.
I think it might be phony. It's like those Chinese fucking headphones you buy.
Yeah.
You know, the iPods.
This is from a specialist cheese supplier called Love Cheese Co. On eBay, so they don't just do the Muller Kintyre, they do all kinds of cheeses.
Well, I'll look into it. I mean, if it is the same Muller Kintyre, do we know it's the exact same one that Sainsbury's were using? I don't know.
I mean, how big's the Muller Kintyre? How many different kinds of cheese can they be producing on one tiny island?
Fuck it. I tell you what I'm doing. I'm going direct to the fucking cheesery. That's how I'm going to do my business.
I mean, we're going to have to go up there, aren't we? We're going to have to go up there at some point.
We've been left with no other option but to go up there and do a live podcast from Mull of Kintyre and a series of videos as well.
Oh, hang on. Here's a post from November 2019, which said that the creamery was going to close down after 100 years.
Oh, fuck.
How long does cheese last after you make it, then? For you to be able to knock it out?
Might be, depends on how you store it, maybe.
Sainsbury's were currently buying, this is 2019, Sainsbury's were buying an estimated 400 tonnes of the fucker.
Oh, they bought it all up because it was shutting.
Well, they were buying it at the time, but for some reason that wasn't enough to keep it sustainable.
I think we should look up the guy who ran this creamery, right, and get him on Humans of Honour. Or it might have been a woman, a she-creamer. But, just, you know, you're a human of honour just because you once ran a fucking creamery. What a living that is.
But then, whoa, update. April 2020, one of Kintyre's biggest employers has bought... I bought the site. Ah, shit.
Oh, he's turning it into something
first
else.
First Milk bought the site of the Campbelltown Creamery. They plan long-term investment at the creamery site, but they're not suggesting that they're going to be doing cheese. That's
gone,
mate.
Someone somewhere has got the recipe for that cheese, and... Yeah. It can be recreated. You know, you don't have to make it Mull of Kintyre, although it would be nicer if they did. Someone has got the fucking Mull of Kintyre cheddar recipe. And we're going to fucking track it down.
Oh, there's a crowdfunder.
To bring it back.
Mull of Kintyre cheddar farmer buyout. Oh, it failed. It failed.
Ah, we have to get in touch with them, mate.
I think it's gone.
We could do a fundraiser. We could do a gig and put all the funds into reviving Mull of Kintyre cheddar.
This was last... it was a £50,000 target, and this was last July.
Andy, this is our Live Aid.
I can't get my head around what's actually happening here. I can't understand what's going on. I need to do more research and not live during a podcast.
This is a fast-moving story, folks, so stay with us. There could be emergency pods on this coming up this week.
The last update was last April. It's not that fast-moving, but fucking hell.
It's fast-moving now we've got hold of it, because once we're involved in an issue, a campaign like this, then things start happening.
Okay, we'll move on. What's this? Yesterday's Hero, isn't it? Sorry I brought the cheese into it. I'm really sorry about that. Got distracted yet again. Yesterday's Hero, yeah. What's happening? Yeah, Rod's at the training ground. A couple of the young players have come up to him and gone, take no notice of the boss. He's a right bastard. He's a good manager, but a right bastard. And then one of the other players says, my dad, he used to take me to see you play when I was a kid. Have that, Rod, you old cunt. So, Rod's settling in at the Saints. And then we cut to a scene where Rod is out for dinner with Susan, who, of course, is played by Glynis Barber. Beautiful 1979 Glynis Barber. And, oh, my God, she looks heavenly in this scene. I don't know if you've watched it recently, but, oh.
I don't think, of all the different women that have been brought up on this podcast that trigger you, and we both have our own triggers, I don't think you have ever fancied anyone more than Glynis Barber.
I don't think I have.
I think she outdoes even Sarah Green.
Oh yeah, definitely. And Susanna Hoffs, maybe. Thing is, Susanna Hoffs hasn't been mentioned Hoffs that much, whereas Glynis Barber in this crops up repeatedly, so it's a repeat trigger. Bang, 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 bang. And just when I think I've quit her, she comes back in another scene and I'm just falling head over heels in love all over again.
The only advantage of Sarah Green over Glynis Barber is that she's a widow, so she ticks that box.
This is true.
Whereas of course, Glynis Barber married her co-star, the bastard.
The American.
And they're still together.
They are. And I mean, that's, they're nearly 40 years they've been together. 40, is it 40 years?
Michael Brandon.
I can never work out years. Yeah. Because Dempsey Midpeace was about 85, 86. So they're 35 years in together.
I bet he couldn't believe his luck.
Surely he's going to peg it soon and she'll be a widow. And then I can make my move.
Just be honest. Are you happy for them? Like, if you can remove all your own personal feelings and jealousies, are you happy? Because showbiz marriages, mate, are more fragile than most. It's so rare that you see a showbiz marriage stand the test of time for that long period. Any part of you think good on them?
I don't know, because I don't know the ins and outs of their relationship. It might be one of those relationships where the lovers died and they're just the two humans existing in the same house, but they're not really.
Also, I think they do projects together. I'm sure I heard them being interviewed not so long ago on the radio about like they'd written a book about relationships together or something. So there might be some sort of, there might be a business reason to stay together.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. There's probably no love there at all, but they just stay together for these projects. It's sad. It's really sad. That's what I think about it. But I mean,
she was on Good Morning Britain recently.
Was she? That'll be on YouTube probably.
Yeah, it is. So I'm looking at it.
She wasn't being interviewed by Susanna Reid, was she?
Oh my God, I'm not sure your heart will be able to take that, mate. You've got to be careful about things like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Apparently, she's appeared on EastEnders. I did not know that. She's taking on American politics in Gore Vidal's The Best Man. Oh, no, hang on. That was way back in 2018. Sorry about that.
No recent projects there to speak of?
not that I can see. But so what? She's probably just resting. Do you know what I mean? She's done.
Yeah.
She's had a long and fruitful career in the acting game.
This and that. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Rod's taking her out for dinner, and I mean, we've seen her previously in let's call it her civvies. She was in those lovely dungarees in his flat. Yeah, she's not been dressed up for a night out until this point.
No,
and it's just taken the whole thing to a completely new level, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, now
I'm probably gonna have to go back and watch it again. Yesterday's Hero was on Talking Pictures a couple of weeks ago, and I've recorded it for posterity, so I'll be able to watch it on my big telly. What's
that? You recorded it on the big telly?
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of YouTube. What happened there? Was that an advert or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, but the tables are turned because, how can we put it? Up till now, Rod's been an absolute cunt to her, hasn't he? And he's just treated her like a doormat. And she's pretty much just took it. She's given him a little bit of aggro, a bit of verbal, but you know, he's not really bothered. This is a different scenario, a different dynamic. They're having dinner. Rod's probably paying. I don't think it's sexist to say that. Mm. And she just lays into him. She says, "You must be mad signing for Saints." She says, "Playing in a semi-final at your age could set a new record." And he's just completely emasculated by this, and he properly gets the hump. And he gets flustered, and then he says, "Look, Susan, I'm going to be tied up training for the next few weeks, so why don't we just cool it for a while?" He says, "I get enough aggravation from Marsh, and I certainly don't need it from you." Mm. And she just goes, "If that's what you want." And he says, "It is." And he raises a glass to her and he says, "I'll call you after the game." So he's just been in her off for a few weeks because he's given everything to this semi-final.
He's got a pattern in his life, mate. He's an alcoholic, right? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't think he's worthy of love. That's the truth of it, right? Yeah. And he, every time anyone gets too close to him, he almost purposefully sabotages it.
Yeah, pushes him away, doesn't he? Yeah.
Pushes him away because he can't stand more heartbreak. So he thinks it's easier just to end this now. And but maybe also, you know, she's a lovely young woman with great prospects. And I think he has got a heart in him. And I think deep down he thinks she's better off without me. I mean, I've had a result here. I cannot believe that at my age and in my condition, yeah. I was still able to pull off a coup of this magnitude.
A sexual coup.
It's best that she moves on.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's why I got together.
Sex Coup's a great name for a song or a band.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We are Sex Coup.
I think that's why he's got with her in the first place, because he thinks that he's not worthy and he thinks that she'll just go off and leave him anyway. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm. If I get together with this beautiful young woman and I just spend all my time drinking scotch straight from the bottle, she won't stick around. And then I'll be able to say, well, there you go. And, you know, he can blame himself or he can blame her.
Yeah, he likes a lot of these people. They like to wallow in pity. They like to create the drama. But the problem is that she, I suspect, we never get to the bottom of it. I think she's obviously, she's very well spoken and refined, and she seems to come from a good background. And I think there's some sort of weird daddy issue going on here. Yeah. And, like, she's reveling in, like, going out with this bit of rough, who's older than her, much rougher than her, more uncouth than her, a drinker, doesn't treat her that nicely. So she's obviously got self-esteem issues as well, somewhere bubbling around, mate.
It's sad, isn't it? It's sad. It's
really sad.
But the
only good thing that you can take for granted is that the sex must be absolutely electric.
You say that, but Rod's drunk most of the time.
He's always drunk.
I don't even think there's that element to it.
And this is well pre-Viagra.
Yeah, of course. He's got nothing to fall back on.
Jalapeño.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So he raises his glass and he says, I'll call you after the game. And she says, thanks.
Finished doing my horsey rides, which I'm contractually obliged to do under the terms of my new deal with Saints.
I've got the game, the semi-final will be coming up, and then for 10 days afterwards, regardless of the results, I am duty bound to carry out horsey rides for the players and the staff of the club, and also some selected young children with disadvantages.
Club VIPs, people who place advertisements in the matchday programme and such.
Personal
corporate
sponsors.
Clients.
So I'm going to be a very busy man, and by the time I finish that, I will be very, very tired, so I'll probably need another 7 days after that as well to recover. So, and then it's going to be the final, if we win the semi-final.
Well, there'll be plenty of horse riding to do around that. Before the final at Wembley, there will be pro-celebrity horsey rides with the likes of Rod Stewart, etc., Cannon and Ball.
I don't know, Jimmy Tarbuck. I don't know if you know this, Susan, as you're a woman, but Wembley is a very big place. It has a very big track around the outside of the grass. And as a result, the horsey rides can be very lengthy and very, very power-sapping.
I'm not as young and as powerful as I once was. I hold my hands up and admit that.
I will not hold my hands up during the horsey rides, though, as that will be hazardous.
I learned that the hard way, trust me.
has broke my chin. So, don't worry about
you
me.
You see this chin, fine. Susan? Guess how many times I have broken this chin. Guess. Don't just guess. Get no,
say a
wrong.
Number.
Get wrong, Susan, you idiot. I have broken this chin 4 times. Can you imagine that? It's amazing.
4 times. But each time it grows back stronger. Does it grow back? I'm not sure.
I'm well known and regarded in the chin ward of the local hussy now. Every time I go in to chin repairs, they're like, here he is back again. Well, you should name the fucking ward after you, you cunt.
I often go into casualty and I just say, don't worry, I'll just make my own way to the chin ward. I know where it is.
I know the way, and yet, shamefully, I do sometimes become lost.
One time I ended up in the X-ray room when I had a whale of a time.
Another time I accidentally walked into the chink ward instead of the chin ward, and
they're
I had a procedure performed on my cheek.
They're next door to each other, and sometimes if your vision is slightly blurred for whatever reason, you just see the C and the H, the ch, and you make your way in through the door before you know it's too late. They've got you under the knife.
Here. The one on the right, or is it the one on the left? I can't quite remember. It's been operated on, unnecessarily, on more than 3 occasions.
I think if you look, take a close look, you'll see it's slightly fatter than the other one. They injected it with some, what I believe was animal fat. But, yes.
The NHS is a wonderful thing. We all have a lot to be grateful for. Susan, what I'm saying is I can't devote the same amount of time to our sex coup as I have done in recent months. With what with my chin, my cheek, and so forth, you can see that my schedule is very overwhelming as it is.
And so, he raises his glass, I will call you after the game or at some point in the future. I cannot say when. Susan says, thanks, I can't wait. And the best bit about this is it's quite early in the dinner because their plates are both quite full. So they've had awkward. This little falling out and very awkward. So they're going to be sat there for the rest of their dinner and possibly pudding with an incredible cloudy atmosphere hanging over them. So, and then we cut to another training session for the Saints. And it's in a blizzard. There's snow on the ground.
Oh, those were the days.
It's snowing, but they're still training. Rod stops. He's in the middle of doing a run around the area. And he stops. And Jake Marsh, played by Adam Faith, of course, comes over. I mean, there's an antipathy between the two of them. And Jake says, getting too much for you, Turner. And Rod just pulls the hood up of his hoodie over his head and he starts running again. You know, it's as if to say, I'm not going to be fucking cowed by you, you fucker.
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Cunt.
Yeah. Which is good. That's probably what Jake's trying to do. Probably trying to get that reaction
management.
From him. Yeah,
good
very
motivation.
Good management. And then, weirdly, it cuts to another training session where there's no snow. I don't know why the snow bit has been thrown in there, but maybe it's trying to get it authorised as a Christmas film for future
it's always worth chucking in a snowy scene just in case,
because then you can get the certificate, you get it written off as a Christmas film. I think it's a tax break as well, possibly.
There's a tax break in that. I'm just downloading a nice image that you might or might not have seen to send to you of Glynis.
Oh, thank you very much. I look forward to receiving that. Are you going to send that now or later on?
Yeah, it'll be coming through, mate. Any moment.
Oh, okay. Is that email or is it on WhatsApp?
It'll be on WhatsApp.
Okay. I look forward to that.
We don't need to wait. You'll just see it. It'll come up at some point.
Right. Anyway, so it's another session. There's no snow. Rod tries a volley and he slices it wide, well wide, and all of a sudden a little dog appears and chases the ball. So that's nice. A footballing dog
that's
is always
see.
Something to be. Oh, Jesus Christ, fuck. Oh.
Have you seen the image that I found?
Oh, my God.
It's a good
God.
One, isn't it?
Oh, my God. A little fucking bow tie she's wearing there as well.
Anyway, but... I want you to wear, for henceforth, I would like you to always wear bow ties when you're in my presence.
When we are carrying out our sex coup. It's the only demand I will make of you, I promise. Wear the bow tie at all times.
A lovely dicky bow. If you can source one that spins around, the more's the better. But I know they're not difficult. They're not the easiest things to source.
Trust me, it will enhance our lovemaking at least 11%.
Tenfold.
Spur me on. Spur me on, it will. Yeah, so, yeah, we're almost there. Yeah, Rod slices the volley wide, well wide, and the little dog appears and chases it while barking. And then we see Jake laugh. Jake Marsh laughs. We see the hard man exterior melt away by a little bit of dog fun. And he says, Clint bought the wrong dog, which is... I don't know. That doesn't really work.
Quite make sense.
Doesn't it? No.
He's not a man of great wit.
No,
Jake, is he?
I'll say this to you then, Jake. If you believe in that dog more than you believe in me, put a shirt on it. Put a shirt on it and put it in the first 11.
Play that damn K-line in the semi-final and see how far that gets you.
Then we'll see who's in the final. Then we'll see who's in the employ of this club by the end of the season. Probably neither of us. Put your dog out there. Put your dog up against me and we'll see who triumphs.
At last, let the world see man versus dog in a footballing arena like they have always craved.
It has been... The conversation topic of choice in the tap houses of the land for many years, but now it can become a reality.
Man v. And dog. You, Jake Marsh, will be the man who made it a possibility. Think of the plaudits you will receive.
Think about it. We've had, for so many years under the 4-4-2 system, we've had the big man and the little man up front. Now we could be the medium-sized man and the little dog. What will become of it? So, yeah, he bought the wrong dog. And then Clint Simon appears with Cloudy Martin. Oh, you've just sent me another photograph. Oh, fucking hell. Oh my
this
good
one's
God.
Signed. Best wishes, Clint.
That I remember that. That is from the TV adaptation of the Daily Mirror cartoon Jane.
Do you remember Jane,
the World War II heroine cartoon that the BBC brought to life.
I liked it that because we always got the mirror in my house, and
I was
trained to think that made us superior as a family to sun reading families. Because the politics was, you know, more nice. And also, it was almost like that's what you got if you found things like page 3 a little bit unacceptable. Yeah. And you weren't so into sexism and all that. But the fact is that Andy Capp made light of wife beating, domestic violence. And Jane, they said she was a wartime hero, but in every single episode of Jane ever, her boobs fell out.
I don't think they did. I don't think we saw her actual boobs in it.
Her boobs were always out, mate.
Well, it's on YouTube. I don't remember that. And this was my first experience.
I mean, in the mirror, not on the TV adaptation.
Oh,
I mean, in the drawings.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Every day, there was tits.
Knock a watch central, wasn't it? But, I mean, the girls in the Daily Mirror used to wear lingerie, and we never saw their tits.
That's what made it so morally... superior.
And it made it sexier as well, I like to think.
It did, actually, because it maintains the mystique.
It was morally superior and it was sexually superior. But, yeah, that was my first encounter with Glynis Barber was in Gin.
Classic.
And when was this? 1982, so I'd have been 10. Whoa! And there's some episodes of Gin on YouTube, which we may delve into at some point. Because it was done like the cartoon strip as well, wasn't it? The TV show.
With all kind of graphics and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's the stuff.
Like Pennies from Heaven. That was done in that style as well. It was obviously popular in the era.
Might have to give the snooker a miss this afternoon. Where are we? Yeah, Clint Simon arrives with Cloudy Martin and a photographer. And Clint just fucking railroads the whole thing and just says, Rod, come and have a picture. Rod scampers across and he gets his photograph taken in between Clint and Cloudy behind the goal as the rest of the training session goes on. And fucking Jake Marsh isn't happy about this. Turner, he shouts, I think you can do with all the training you can get, son. So I don't know what Clint thinks he's doing here. Do you know what I mean? What's he doing? Well, just because he owns the club, he can't just fucking... These players aren't his goods and chattel. He can't just use them as he pleases.
Well, that's exactly why people like him buy football clubs, though, mate. I mean, at the end of the day, Clint's not in this for the money. Like, you couldn't make a lot of money out of owning this sort of football club in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
It's a vanity project because he loves the club. And buying Rod is a vanity project too. And he just sees them as extra playthings. It's just like him getting a new Scare Electrics or something. It's the same thing. I own Rod Turner now. I can go and get photos taken with him whenever I want.
I guess. Would Elton John turn up at Watford's training ground with Kiki D and say, Luther, over here. Yeah. Come and get a photograph with us. I don't think he would.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe he did in the old days. We all know that Graham Taylor had to take him in hand a few times and say, look, mate, do you see? You're making a bit of a cunt out of yourself, Elton.
And of me, and of the lads. Now, come on.
Not
We're
least Luther.
This together. There's a hierarchy. Once those lads have got their kit on, they belong to me and not you, Elton. You can come and watch. You can come and look. You can bring Kiki D. That's fine. You can bring your wife, that woman you've married.
That woman you accidentally married.
Renata, bring her along if you want. I don't mind. But I have to say this. When those lads have got their kits on, they belong to me. Look, but do not touch Elton.
When they cross that white line, and I'm not talking about your sort of white line, Elton. I'm talking about my sort. The sort they paint on grass. And I'm not talking about your sort of grass, Elton. I'm talking about my sort.
So, yeah.
The sort that horses run on and eat. And I'm not talking about your sort of horse, Elton. If you owned Kevin Phillips, would you exploit that?
Of course I would.
There you go.
Of course I would. But only in an off-the-pitch situation. Only for commercial gain outside of the...
Well, he doesn't play anymore, so training and playing. If you did
hang on.
If you earned enough money from being one of Britain's foremost pod barons, right?
Yeah.
And you just became almost like the Clint Simons of podcasting.
Plausible,
and you just had money to fling about, sort of thing. And you're like, fucking hell, I've got it all now. I've got four hammocks. Where does a man who already owns four hammocks go? Hmm. Right? What do you get for the man who has it all? So next thing you know, you've heard Kevin Phillips is like he's out of work. Maybe he's got some big overheads, some bills come in, and you make him. I'm going to make you an offer. I will buy you. I will pay you a lump sum, but then I will own you forever. I will own all of your time. And Phillips has gone. Fuck it. All right, I'll go for it, Andy.
Yeah.
You'd constantly be trying to get photos of him with Oscar.
Well, I mean, yeah. Obviously
Come over here now, Kevin Phillips. I want you to have Oscar's fur is looking particularly lustrous today.
He needs a tickle.
I want you to come over and have your photograph taken with him again.
I mean, that extra hammock would be there for Kevin Phillips to fill, and he would just regale me with anecdotes from his career. Mm. He wouldn't have to be with me 24/7, would he?
That won't be up to you, really.
Right. No, I wouldn't want that. I mean, I'd have him sort of three afternoons a week, maybe.
Yeah, you'd have him round to, like, watch the snooker with you. You go, right, I've got both hammocks set up. Stop at Tesco's on the way and pick up the following. Large bag of Doritos, right, et cetera, whatever snacks you wanted him for the snooker. And then he comes around, sits in the hammock next to you. You get the TV because you have it pointing out from the living room, right?
So
you
can watch it in the hammock. When we're outdoors, that facility is available. Yeah, it's an option. Yeah.
So sunny day, both in your hammock. You're watching the snooker, but he's kind of... You don't need total concentration when you're watching the snooker, do you? He could tell you stories about the glory days under Peter Reid. You're also watching the snooker.
I can have one eye on the snooker and one eye listening to his anecdotes. Yeah, of course I can.
Lovely, yeah, mate.
And if he's got any opinions about the snooker, then he'd be free to chip in with them as well. I don't know how interested in the snooker he is, but I think...
What do you think? Of course he is.
You reckon? Yeah. If he's not, I think he'd grow to love it. It'd get under his skin.
Yeah, totally.
But, that's something to think about in the future because I'm not at that level of pod barony quite yet. No. But it's one to think about, certainly. Yeah, so I see what you're saying. Yeah, I do. We're going to leave it there. I'm going to make some calls to Kevin Phillips' agent, and then I'll spend the rest of the day watching Jane on YouTube, starring Glynis Barber. There we go. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with more Yesterday's Hero next week. You're all a hero.
Give yourself a pat on the back.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.